Welcome to another deep dive where we like really get into these big legal cases and figure out what they mean, for us practicing lawyers today. So today we are diving into Dice v. Akron, Canton and Youngstown Railroad Co.,
Oh, yeah.
which is a case that I think gets to the heart of a lot of things that are really important in employment law today. So to set the stage, imagine you're a railroad worker, okay? You're injured on the job, and it's a serious injury. And your employer comes to you and says, "Hey, sign this. It's just like a receipt for back pay." But it turns out it's actually a release of all claims against the railroad. Like, can they even do that? That seems kind of messed up.
Yeah,
And
that's
that's the story of Dice. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So first of all, can you just give us a real quick overview of FELA,
Sure,
which is the law at the center of this case?
FELA is the Federal Employers Liability Act, and it is a federal law that protects and compensates railroad workers who are injured on the job.
Okay, so it's specifically for
Specifically for railroad workers.
railroad workers. Got it. So tell me about James Dice. Like, what happened to him?
James Dice was a fireman working for the Akron, Canton, and Youngstown Railroad,
Okay.
and he was seriously injured in a train derailment.
Okay.
He sued the railroad under FELA, claiming their negligence caused the accident.
So far, this is like a very standard FELA claim. So what is it that makes this case so
Well,
special?
the railroad said, well, he signed a release of all claims.
Oh, so they were basically saying, even if we were negligent, you can't sue us.
Too bad. So sad.
Yeah, tough luck.
You signed this?
Yeah, so what did Mr. Dice say to that?
Well, Mr. Dice said, I thought I was signing a receipt for back pay.
Oh.
I was tricked. I was defrauded.
Wow. So it sounds like this is going to get a little messy.
A little bit.
So this case didn't just settle, it went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Could did go up.
Right. So talk to me about the journey that this case went on through the courts.
Well, it started out in an Ohio trial court in front of a jury,
Okay.
and the jury sided with Mr. Dice and awarded him $25,000.
$25,000. Now, you would think that would be the end of it, right?
That would
The
seem.
jury has spoken, case closed.
You would think so.
So what
But
happened?
the trial judge entered a judgment notwithstanding the verdict,
Oh, what is that?
also known as a JMOV.
JNOV. So what is a JNOV?
It's basically the judge saying, I don't care what a jury said.
Whoa.
I don't think there's enough evidence
Okay.
to support their decision, so I'm overruling them.
So the judge just completely
So
threw out
sorry.
what the jury said. Wow. Okay, so Dice, he wins with the jury, but then the judge is like, nope. So what happened next?
Well, he appealed, of course,
Okay.
and the Ohio Court of Appeals
All right.
reversed the trial judge.
They said what?
They said, no, federal law applies.
Okay, why would they say that?
Well, because it's FELA.
Gotcha.
It's a federal law designed to protect railroad
Makes
workers.
sense. Okay, so the Ohio Court of Appeals sides with Dice. What about the Ohio Supreme Court?
The Ohio Supreme Court said, no, state law should control this case.
Oh, wow. So now we have this battle between state and federal law. So what did the Ohio Supreme Court say about
They
state
said,
law?
under Ohio law, it's the judge, not the
Oh.
jury, that decides if there's fraud.
Oh, so they completely flipped the script.
They did.
Wow. Okay, so obviously this case went to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
It's a big
In
question
question, yeah.
of whether a state can override
Right.
federal law in this area.
Huge. Okay, so lay it on me. What did the Supreme Court decide?
Well, they sided with Dice. They
Really?
said that states can't create laws or procedures that undermine the rights that workers have under FELA. They
Interesting.
said federal law is supreme in these matters.
I bet the railroad was not happy about that.
I'm sure they weren't.
So why was it so important for the Supreme Court to uphold FELA in this case?
Well, I think for a few reasons. One, they wanted to make sure that FELA was applied consistently across the country.
Okay, so it's not different in every single state.
No, it shouldn't be a patchwork.
Right,
They
okay.
said, we need to have one standard.
Yeah, got it.
It would be really unfair if some states gave workers more protection than
Yeah,
others.
it would be a totally mess.
Yes.
Okay.
And then two,
Okay.
they really took issue with what the Ohio Supreme Court did.
Oh, what was that again?
Remember how they said it was up to the judge to decide if there was fraud?
Yeah.
Well, the Supreme Court said that's not right.
Oh.
The right to a jury trial is a really important part of FELA,
Gotcha.
and you can't just take that away from workers.
So they thought it was really important that the jury gets to decide. Okay, so the Supreme Court is basically saying states can't chip away.
They said that the right to a jury trial is a
Okay.
really important part of the law.
Makes sense. So they sided with Dice. they emphasize federal supremacy over state law. But is there anything else to their reasoning?
They also clarified what makes a release invalid under FELA.
Okay, and what is that?
They said that a release must not be induced by deliberately false and material statements by the employer.
So they were saying it's not just any misstatement, right?
Right. It has to be intentional.
Yeah, it has to be like a lie.
Basically. Or a lie, yes.
Got it.
And it has to be about something important.
Something that would affect whether or not someone would sign.
Exactly.
Okay.
It can't be some tiny little thing.
Gotcha. Okay, so the Supreme Court really laid down the law here.
They did.
But was there any dissent?
There was one justice dissented.
Okay. Who was that?
It was Justice Frankfurter.
Justice Frankfurter. Okay. And what did he have to say?
Well, he agreed that federal law should govern the validity of the release.
Okay.
But he thought that states should have some leeway in how they handle these cases.
So he thought states should have a little bit more
power.
Okay. So that sounds like he's sort of emphasizing states' rights.
He is.
Okay.
He's saying that states should have some control over their own procedures.
Interesting. So this case wasn't just about Mr. Dice, right?
No, not at all.
This is a bigger issue. So why should lawyers today care about Dice v. Akron?
Well, for a few reasons.
Okay.
One, it's a landmark decision that continues to shape how FELA cases are handled.
Okay.
Two, it prevents employers from trying to use state law to get around their obligations under FELA.
Okay, so it protects workers.
It does.
Got it.
And three, it reinforces how important juries are in these cases, especially when fraud is alleged.
And the jury's the one who gets to decide.
Exactly.
Okay, so before we move on, can you just give us a real quick recap of the takeaways?
Sure. So the main takeaways are that federal law is supreme when it comes to FELA releases.
Okay.
Releases that are obtained by fraud are not valid. And juries play a really important role in deciding these cases.
Okay, so the jury is essential.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I want to leave our listeners with a question to think about as we move into part two. Okay, how do the principles of Dice v. Akron apply to the kinds of agreements and releases that we see today, like arbitration agreements, class action waivers, all of that?
That's a great question.
We'll talk about all of that and more in part two.
I look forward to it.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Dice v. Akron, Canton and Youngstown Railroad Co. We spent the last part really getting into the details of the case, back and forth between the different courts. But now I want to kind of zoom out a little bit and talk about why Dice still matters today. You know, beyond just FELA and railroad workers, what are the broader implications of this case?
Well, I think Dice is a really important case for anyone who's interested in employment law.
Okay, so even if you're not representing a railroad worker,
exactly,
this case is still relevant. Why is that?
Well, it gets to some really fundamental principles about how federal and state law interact,
okay,
and how we protect workers' rights.
So you're saying this case is about more than just...
It's about fairness.
Railroads.
Okay.
It's about making sure that employers are held accountable when they do something wrong.
Okay, so how does Dice sort of accomplish that?
Well, one way is by establishing this idea of federal preemption.
Okay, remind me what that is again.
It means that federal law trumps state law in certain areas.
Okay.
And in the context of Dice, it meant that the federal law, FELA, had to be applied.
Okay.
Even though the case was being heard in state court.
So that means states can't just make up their own rules.
Exactly.
About FELA.
They can't undermine the protections that FELA provides to workers.
Okay.
And that's really important because it ensures that workers have a consistent level of protection.
Right, no matter where they live.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's federal preemption. What else?
Another important aspect of Dice is the emphasis on fraud.
Remember, Mr. Dice was tricked into signing that release.
Right.
He thought it was just a receipt for back pay.
Uh-huh.
And the Supreme Court said that's not okay.
They were like, you can't trick people.
You can't deceive workers into giving up their rights.
Yeah.
And that principle has really broad implications.
Okay, so give me an example.
Sure. Think about all those waivers you sign these days.
Oh, yeah.
For everything from amusement parks to gym memberships.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Right. And a lot of times those waivers try to limit the company's liability.
Like they're saying, even if we mess up, you can't sue us.
Exactly.
Okay.
But Dice tells us that those waivers can be challenged.
Really?
If there's evidence of fraud or misrepresentation.
So it's not a get out of jail free card.
Not necessarily. Uh-huh. If you can show that you were tricked or misled into signing something, then you might still have a case.
Gotcha. So it's a reminder that those contracts need to be entered into.
They do.
Knowingly and voluntarily.
You can't just force someone to sign something or deceive them about what they're signing.
Makes sense. We talked about federal preemption. We talked about fraud. How else has DICE shaped the legal landscape?
Well, one area where DICE has had a big impact is arbitration.
Oh, okay.
Arbitration agreements are increasingly common in employment contracts, and they're often used to prevent employees from suing their employers in court.
So they have to go through this private process instead.
Exactly.
Okay, and how does DICE relate to that?
Well, remember that principle of federal preemption we talked about?
Federal law trumps state law.
Well, there's a federal law called the Federal Arbitration Act.
Okay.
Or FAA.
Got it.
And the FAA generally favors enforcing arbitration agreements.
Okay.
But sometimes states try to pass laws or issue court rulings that limit the scope of the FAA.
They're trying to protect their workers.
Exactly.
Okay.
They might feel like arbitration is unfair to employees.
Right.
But courts have often relied on DICE v. Akron to strike down those state-level attempts.
You're saying you can't do that.
They're saying that the FAA preempts state law.
So even though DICE itself was not about arbitration, it's being used in this context.
It's become a really important precedent in this area.
Interesting. So it sounds like DICE has had a ripple effect.
It has.
On a lot of different areas of life.
Beyond just fella and railroad workers.
Exactly. So we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about federal preemption, fraud, arbitration, what other?
There's one more area I want to touch on.
Lessons can we learn?
And that's class action waivers.
From DICE. Okay, what are those?
A class action waiver is a clause that you often see in employment contracts.
Okay.
And it prevents employees from joining together to file a class action lawsuit against their employer.
So they can only sue individually.
Right.
Okay, and why is that a big deal?
Well, class actions can be a really powerful tool for workers.
Okay.
They allow workers to band together and pool their resources to challenge illegal or unfair practices by their employers.
So if you take that away, it makes it a lot harder for workers.
It does to fight back.
It can make it much more difficult.
Okay, so where does DICE come into play here?
Well, there's been a lot of debate about whether class action waivers are enforceable.
Okay.
And some courts have relied on DICE v. Akron to uphold these waivers.
Really?
They've argued that the FAA, the Federal Arbitration Act, preempts state laws that try to limit or invalidate class action waivers.
So once again, we have this idea of federal preemption.
Exactly.
Okay. So it seems like DICE v. Akron has had a major impact.
It has.
On a lot of different areas of law, even beyond.
It's a landmark decision.
So for all the lawyers out there listening, what are the key takeaways from DICE?
I think the biggest takeaway is that you need to be really careful about any agreements or waivers that you're asking your clients to sign.
Okay, whether you're representing the employer or the employee.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You need to understand what those agreements say.
Gotcha. And you need to make sure that your clients understand them too.
Okay, and this is especially important in employment law.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other takeaways?
Well, I think DICE also highlights the importance of federal law in protecting workers' rights.
Okay.
We talked about FELA.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the FAA.
Uh-huh.
These are both federal laws that provide important protections to workers.
Gotcha.
And DICE shows us that those laws can be really powerful tools.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground here in part two.
I have.
We talked about federal preemption, fraud, arbitration, class action waivers, all of that good
stuff. Related to DICE v. Akron.
Yes. But in part three, I want to kind of zoom that even further and think about the bigger picture. What are the lasting lessons of DICE?
I'm looking forward to that.
What can it teach us about the law and its role in society? All of that and more in part three. Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive on DICE v. Akron, Canton and Youngstown Railroad Co. We've gone deep on the facts. We've looked at how the case has impacted a lot of different areas of the law.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to step back even further and think about the really big picture. What are the big lessons from DICE that maybe go beyond the specifics of this case?
I think one of the biggest lessons is that everyone deserves access to justice.
Oh, interesting.
And that includes workers who are up against powerful corporations.
So you're saying this case is about...
It's about making sure that the little guy has a fighting chance.
More than just railroads.
Yes, much more.
Okay. Okay. And how does DICE sort of play into that?
Well, remember how the Supreme Court emphasized the right to a jury trial?
Yeah, that was a huge part of their decision.
They said that workers can't be denied that, right?
Okay.
And I think that's really important because it gives workers a voice.
Yeah.
It allows them to have their claims heard by a group of their peers.
Okay. So it's about fairness.
It is.
About making sure that everyone has a fair shot.
Exactly.
In the legal system. Okay. Any other big picture lessons.
Well, I think DICE also reminds us that the law should be a tool for protecting the vulnerable.
Not just the powerful.
Not just the powerful, right? Okay. It's about making sure that the system works for everyone.
Okay. I think this has been a really interesting deep dive.
Me too.
We've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about the specifics of the case. We've talked about how it's impacted different areas of the law. And we've even talked about its historical context. So I think we've really gone deep on DICE v. Akron.
I think so.
But before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one final question.
Okay.
To think about, how do you think the principles of DICE might apply in the future?
That's a really good question.
You know, as the world of work is changing, we have new technologies, new industries. How do we apply these ideas of fairness and worker protection in this new context?
I think that's something that we're all going to have to grapple with.
Yeah. But I think DICE v. Akron gives us a good framework.
It does.
For thinking about those questions. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into DICE v. Akron.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you've learned something. And until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.